Greetings again, brothers and sisters. All of you who belong to our daily respite universe. Amen. Well, if you're listening to this, you've chosen this time for your daily respite. Welcome. It's Pastor Bob, and it's Thursday, September 30th. That means tomorrow's October, by the way, just in case you get confused about that, those things. The last day of September, 2021, and it's episode number 53 of our daily respite, and we are still listening to trees this week. Amen. Had a wonderful tree-focused discussion last night on our Zoom discussion group, and we're right back at it today. Holly Wharton's book, If Trees Could Talk, brings us to this tree. It's called the Savernake Queen Oak. The Savernake Queen Oak. And I'll let Holly tell us a little bit to set the context, and we'll hear from the tree, and then she'll wrap it up with some reflections at the end. Amen? So let's settle in. Maybe take a sip of tea if you've got it. Or coffee, as may be the case, or juice, and a breath, and open up those ears, stick them on your hearts. Let's listen for the Word of God. Holly Wharton says, as I continued my search for the king and queen oaks, I passed by a young tree with a sign proclaiming that it was the replacement king oak. It was a completely unremarkable tree, and had it not been for its sign, I would have walked by without noticing it. I later learned that it had been planted in the 1980s to replace the original king oak, and that it is the progeny of the Savernake cluster oak. I was disappointed to see that it was such a young tree, as I had been hoping to see the ancient king oak, and I paused to see if the replacement king had a story for me. It did not, so I continued onward toward the original queen oak, who was very easy to find, as she was clearly marked on the map. I was grateful to see that she was still alive. Located just off to the side of the trail, surrounded by a carpet of bracken, the original queen oak is but a remnant of her past greatness. Her trunk is split, and her canopy has long broken off. She's essentially an ancient, barely living stump with a few small branches. This is a common tactic of English oaks to extend their lifespan. Very old trees of 700 to 800 years old will shed their broad crown, greatly shortening their height. I imagine this helps to conserve energy and resources, thus extending their time on this planet. It's actually a very smart strategy. The original queen oak is an ancient tree, and her future replacement has already been planted nearby. At first, I was saddened to see her in such bad shape, but my sadness soon faded as I felt her vibrant energy. She was so full of joy that it was impossible to mourn her decaying state. And I can feel myself tap into that same sense of bubbly joy every time I reread her words. I hope that you, too, can get a sense of her cheerful energy. Here's what she had to say. Do not mourn for me. Do not mourn for me. I am overjoyed to have spent the hundreds and hundreds of years that I have been in this forest. Look at me. You can see how old I am. And look at all the life there is on me. The ferns, the moss, all the living things on the forest floor below me. The fungus on my trunk, nestled amongst my old chunky bark. And look up and see what is left of my own life, tiny little branches. I am so old, and I am so pleased to have been standing here for so long. I am so pleased to have been given the recognition that I have been given. Original Queen Oak. You can see that my king has fallen, and there is now a replacement King Oak. Yes, everything has a cycle. Everything has a lifespan, and mine is coming to an end. I have many years of life left in me, but not as many as I have lived. Now, you heard my message far back on the trail, even before you heard Pointing Oak's message. My message, my story for you, is a story of joy, because that is what I feel. That is what I feel, having been here for so many hundreds of years. The joy of being a tree. The joy of being in this beautiful forest, surrounded by other trees of other species, other oaks, then chestnuts over there, and surrounded by bracken, all the green things. And look at the beautiful blue sky that I have stretched my branches towards for hundreds of years. I feel such great joy to have been here on this earth, in this place, in the form that I have taken of the majestic Queen Oak that I am. You know I have presence. You know I am beautiful. And you can imagine what I must have looked like a few decades before, perhaps even 100 years ago. And so, this is what I want to speak to you about. Find your joy. Find your joy. If you want to connect more deeply with nature, find your joy in nature. Do you enjoy walking? Do you enjoy running? Do you enjoy cycling? What is it that you enjoy doing in nature? Do you enjoy meditating in nature? Do you enjoy just going to the park and having a cup of coffee or tea? Find your joy outdoors. Find your joy with the trees. Find your joy with all the living green things. Find your joy and do it. Make it happen. And make it happen on a regular basis. Find your joy and do it. Give yourself permission to do the joyful outdoor things, which bring you a deep sense of happiness and connection, not only to the green things, but to yourself. Find your joy and feel it. Really feel it. And, as I said, give yourself permission to have these experiences, because sometimes people feel guilty. They come to the woods and they think, I should be doing something else. I should be doing some work. I should be doing something with the family. I should be doing emails. I should be paying bills. What they are really saying is, I should be doing practical things. Now, of course, you can bring your family to the woods if you like. But when you find your joy, perhaps it is being alone in the woods. Perhaps it is being alone in the park. Whatever your joy is, give yourself permission to do it and make it a priority, because it is an important part of you and your experience on this earth. It will help you to deepen your connection to yourself. It will help deepen your connection to your higher self. It will help you deepen your connection to nature and all the green things. So you find your joy in nature and you do it, free from guilt. Give yourself permission to do this. How many trees have talked to you about the importance of slowing down? And perhaps your joy in nature will be slowing down in nature. Perhaps your joy will be jogging through nature, cycling through nature. There are different times for different things. So do not get this confused with other things that other trees have told you. There is a time for being still in nature. There is a time for being quiet in nature. And there is a time for living your joy in nature. And sometimes those things coincide, sometimes they do not. This is important for you to know. This task, this suggestion, this call to action of finding your joy in nature is different from what other trees have told you. So please experiment. Find your joy. Now, if I were to ask you, what is your joy in nature? What is your joy in the outdoors? How do you feel joy in the outdoors? What are the first things that come to mind? Write that down. And if you think, oh, I don't know. How do I know that? That's such a big thing. Try it. Experiment. Try one thing. Did you feel joy? If not, try another thing. Did you feel joy? If not, try another thing. And keep trying. Keep experimenting. Keep playing. Until you find that thing that is your joy in nature and make it happen on a regular basis and really, really feel that joy. It is delicious, is it not? Well, I am nearing the end of what I have to say to you, and I am so pleased to have been able to share my story with you, my message for you, my task for you. My life has been full of great joy in this forest. I am so pleased with my life. And I hope that you experience the same joy outdoors, in nature, with the green things. Find your joy and experience it. Thank you. Holly Wharton wraps up this listening with these comments. I think a lot of us, myself included, can take our personal development too seriously. I spend a lot of time identifying my fears, blocks, and limiting beliefs, and doing mindset work with myself to shift them. I journal, and I have an extensive morning routine where I do my inner work. I walk my 1,000 miles every year, and I carefully track my progress toward my goals. It's all very serious. And while I love every bit of this, it's not exactly the sense of pure joy that I experienced when I tapped into the message from the Queen Oak. The energy that I felt when she was giving me her advice was very playful. And I know that I often forget to play when I'm out in nature. Which leads me to wonder, what does nature play look like for me? My answer? It looks like walking straight through mud puddles rather than gingerly stepping around them. It looks like cracking the thin sheets of ice with the toe of my boot on winter puddles. It looks like searching for new geocaches in the woods. Silly things? Nothing really important? But they do bring me joy. And this is important. Our connection with nature, as well as our personal development work, needs to be joyful. We need to play. We need to find our joy and do it. How about you? Have you found your joy in nature? Is it walking, meditating, cycling, or something else? And if you have found your joy, do you actually make it a priority in your life? Do you do it on a regular basis? If not, what can you do to make it happen more often? If you haven't found your joy in nature, what types of outdoor activities are you drawn to doing? What new things do you feel like trying? How would you like to play in the outdoors? Amen.